It's Kuzucast time, and it's the return of Trash Visual Novel Friends. Well, not quite. It's a manga about trash visual novels, or a trash visual novel player, or trashy heroin. Look, all right, it'll all make sense shortly. On another installment of that time, I started a podcast to read trash manga with my friends, and actually most of them were trash, but some of them weren't, aka the Trash Manga Friends podcast, episode 90. When I became a trash manga, they broke off our engagement. And don't forget, use the code Trockenheimer to go buy your tie-in preserved flowers only while stocks last. You know, 90 episodes in, what this is all about. Three people, two volumes, one trash manga. Romancing what's good, reloading what's bad, and uninstalling what's trash. I am your forever host, Ogiso Sean Sinner, joined by Karisu Makize and Felicivel von Einsburn. How are you both?
That sounded difficult to say.
This is the point where Phil tells me I pronounced Ilya's name completely wrong.
No, sounded about right off the top of my head.
Hey.
I'm filled with so much hate.
Just what's new?
The end of my fucking rope. Just okay. Fine.
No, you've got at least 10 more episodes to go yet.
Wait, what were you referencing?
What?
10 more episodes of the podcast?
Because it's episode 90. Right. I don't want you to die until we hit episode 100.
No, I'm with you now. Yep.
This isn't complex stuff here.
I don't know, man. My brain's kind of melted because of what we read this time. Everything's a little complex now.
This is your excuse every time. Like, wow, it's hot. My brain's melted. Wow, I've got a little bit ill. My brain's melted. Wow, this manga's made my brain melt.
Okay. Yeah, in Mike's defense, sometimes it's not he's a little bit ill. Sometimes he's actually quite ill.
And he shouldn't be recording.
I'm also fairly certain that all of these individual brain melting situations is starting to do permanent damage. honestly, recording this podcast isn't good for anyone's health, especially mine.
It's not that you've built up a tolerance now, it's at this point that they've all stacked and your body's given up and telling you, like, no, stop.
Oh, yeah. Whoever came up with the phrase, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, was just full of shit. Like, this is starting to hurt now.
Are you telling me, Mike, you don't like rom-coms?
Oh, boy, do I.
Oh, that's good. How about you, Phil? Have a nice week?
Phil loves rom-coms.
It's even started raining again these days, so, the weather is going back to Phil's land.
Today it's actually, dare I say, cold.
I
wouldn't go that far. I mean, it's... I only need to wear a jumper when I went out. I didn't have to, like, fleece up or anything. So.
I considered wearing a dressing gown today. On top of my clothes.
You got only dressed, a dressing right?
Gown. Yeah, I'm wearing clothes. I mean, wouldn't you like to know?
I meant more as in it's not just pajamas. You're not, like, a classic resident of the place where we live where they'll happily just go out in their PJs and it's like, no.
Well, please. That implies that I would actually leave my house.
True. I mean, technically, you have to do that for your cats occasionally.
Really? No.
I mean, I'm counting the backyard as leaving your house in this case.
Sure. But it's my backyard. I can be all kinds of naked in that. It's fine. Anyone looks, it's their fault.
What on that note?
Not sure about that one.
I am. How dare you look at me in my backyard?
Well, while we call the cops.
A
little bit of housekeeping to do before we dive into today's episode. So,
apparently naked housekeeping.
At least I hope not. As I mentioned before, with a certain bluebird coming down with the case of the Musk, we have expanded our social media horizons. So alongside Twitter, you can now follow us at Trash Manga Friends over on Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, Facebook, Mastodon, and Tumblr, with more to come in the near future. It's not a whole lot on any of those at the moment as we get everything figured out moving forward, but hey, we'd greatly appreciate if you check us out, whichever social media platform you call home. And of course, we will still be sticking around on Twitter at TrashMangaCast until it fucking dies. So, on with that done, are we ready for the 90th episode of Trash Manga Friends? Are we ready to dive into another classic series?
No.
Well, too bad, because this is one of Phil's favorites, so he'll be ready to go. So...
Oh, so ready.
Oh, baby.
I'm never ready.
So, we have been reading The World God Only Knows, a.k.a. Kami no Mi Zoshiro Sakai. This is a rom-com manga that ran from April 2008 to April 2014 for 26 volumes total. Written and drawn by Tamiki Wakaki, who has done a bunch of other works kind of since this, though none have reached remotely the same level of popularity as World God Only Knows. Surprisingly, not licensed over here. You can't buy the manga in English, but you can go and watch the anime. 3 seasons in total, with 36 episodes done by Manglobe, all available on Crunchyroll. There's also 4 OVAs as well as 2 spin-off mangas, Magical Star Kanon 100% and On the Train, and even 2 light novels that came out as an accompaniment as well. But what is it all about? Because The World God Only Knows is not a title that tells you everything. So, Phil, what is this manga all about?
The World God Only Knows follows Kaima Katsuragi, also known as the God of Conquest, so-called because he has conquered over 10,000 girls' hearts. The only catch is they are all video game characters from dating sims. He has played a bajillion dating sims and cleared them all. And one day he gets a lovely email in his inbox from one of his many, many fans saying, heard you can conquer any girl, but you can't conquer this one. And when he hits reply, he is bound in a contract with a devil to conquer the hearts of real life girl.
This contract would never hold up in court.
You know, I feel hell probably has a different system.
Like, it doesn't even tell him what he's going to need to do or anything. And, like, there's no, if you don't do this, you'll die. Because, spoiler, if he doesn't do it, he'll die.
Yes, as he finds out, if he fails the contract, the collar that has now appeared around his neck will decapitate him.
Straight up battle royale him, yes. Although, at least in Battle Royale, they show you what happens if someone doesn't play the game. I want to see someone die, damn it. I need to prove that these stakes are real.
I mean, I feel this is far too cutesy a series to have death.
It actually literally says you'll be decapitated.
Yeah. I mean, there's a difference between saying it.
There's a difference between violence and threatening violence.
No. There's a difference between saying you'll be decapitated and showing a decapitation.
Nah, disagree. Go full force or not at all, in my opinion.
Like, you can talk about pooping, but the moment you start showing pooping, that's an 18 plus rating.
I'm just going to go ahead and say commit to the bit. Commit to the bit and murder
this
guy. Right,
Mike. Yeah. Of all things you're accusing this manga of not doing, I feel this commits to the bit pretty goddamn hard.
This thing commits to the bit in a very dumb way, yes.
It has a bit, and that is its raison d'etre, and it will never deviate from that fact.
Fucking stupid. It's so dumb. I hate it so much. Fucking end me.
See, I think my issue more with the whole neck collar thing is it very much feels like, and this happens a lot throughout the first chapter, it's just a convoluted means to an end of being essentially railroading it, so this now has to be the plot. If you don't do this, your head's going to be cut off.
Oh, yeah. With no proof that it'll actually happen.
I mean, to be fair, if she's a demon and she does show that she has supernatural powers, you know, I can believe that this thing going to cut. I'm not going to, like, go fuck around and find out, as it were.
I mean, she proves she has supernatural powers.
What evidence are you wanting here, Mike?
I want to see someone else being in this contract and then be like, no, I won't do this, and then they fucking die. It would be so much better than everything else in this manga.
Nah, disagree. I feel that would completely shift the tone of it, so it's very good that they don't do that.
I'm trying really hard to start a fight with you guys, and you're not taking it, and it's actually more frustrating than reading this manga.
If you want to start a fight, why... And this is something I've only really realised on this... version of checking the series out. Do they really need to be demons? Do we? Is it all really need? Like, because the demon stuff is very much just either means to an end or off screen. Like, they have to capture runaway spirits, and we'll get to that in a minute. But whenever they actually do finally free the runaway spirit, it's just caught in the master ball, aka random jar. And yes, that's it. That's all that. And it's like, what happens if we leave them there? They'll just like give birth to them.
You could say it. You could say it was a very jarring experience.
I feel you're getting desperate here, Mike.
You should leave the comedy to the manga, Mike.
Oh yeah, because it's much less funny than me. No. Fight me, damn it!
Nah, not drawing it. Not being drawn in this time, Mike.
I need some actual quality content from you, Mike. Not just this gruel version of yourself.
I don't know. What
it's
to
like
say
Mike's like, where's my foreplay?
I want to get straight into the hardcore argument vibe.
I just now I'm looking at this series. I don't really know why it's all like they. I'm not saying they don't use the demons in the hell aspect, but it really just come across as just a flavor rather than an actual justified thing.
Whole point is, in hell, you've got spirits of presumably evildoers.
That is one of the few things it does say. Yes, they are evil people.
Occasionally, some of them manage to escape. All right, they go to Earth and they hide themselves in the gap of people's hearts. And very specifically, they always target women because if they don't get found, eventually when that lady has a child, that will be that spirit being reborn.
They do say that in literally one panel.
Yes.
It's very much like, okay, just catch it then.
Well, that's the whole point. That's what he's doing. He's going out and...
No. Is it catch it if or when they give birth?
Well, no. Why bother alive. With then they're all alive, this? Not a spirit.
Also, extreme assumption of these spirits that if these people want to have kids or not.
I mean, sure. Especially because, funnily enough, this is set in Japan, a country famous for its lack of childbirth.
Is it?
Yes.
That's new to me. I didn't know that.
Like, the child rate... Child rate?
Birth rate?
The birth rate, thank
Conception
you. That's
rate is, yeah, yeah, birth
the
rate.
The birth rate is very low.
It's why you get people memeing that stuff like Dali and the Franks was all totally a ruse to get people to have more kids.
Fucking on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, okay.
I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, it's not a issue specific to Japan, but Japan is, I believe, one of the lowest.
I think
it's
one of the lowest, yeah.
People just
to be
aren't
fair,
fucking
that's
enough.
To be fair, that is also endemic of our generation, as it turns out, and
yes,
generations after us.
Wanting to be childless, yes.
Yes.
Because, why would you want to raise a kid in this world?
Yeah, that's a growing mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, we're never... Like, as of right now, none of them have hid in the hearts of older women, and I don't recall them at any point, from what I've seen after this, hiding in the hearts of older women. Maybe that is a one-off gimmick, but...
Well, I mean, maybe. So the implication is there are other people and devil partnerships out there, so maybe they're only going after those that are close to... they are only going after those that are close to our protagonists. So, funnily enough, they are. They are, in fact, school age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally, because this all comes down to these spirits from hell are hiding in the hearts of these schoolgirls who go to his school, so they're literally nearby him at all times.
See, and I feel that's like one of the few clever bits.
And in order to get these spirits out, he has to fill their hearts with emotion, love.
Love, Mike.
Happy, I don't know.
Love.
Positive emotion at the very least.
Has to mend their heart.
Yes, and...
Has to fit it, specifically, so there's nowhere they can hide.
At which point, there's nowhere to hide, and the spirit pops out. Ah, big, scary. Thump, catch in the jar. And I could see a flaw with this, first of all. Because the whole point of this is, he was really, really good at dating sim games.
Yes.
The god of conquest of dating sims.
Yes. He has cleared 10,000 routes, as the terminology would be.
That's insanity, but okay.
Yes. The point is to show you how extreme he is.
That's why he's god.
Oh, that part I'm not in doubt at all. Like, if you've done 10,000 of anything, you're pretty damn good at it by that point.
What was it to say? 10,000 hours to be a master?
Yeah, and hey, I mean, we do get to see early on as well, like, he actually does help other people with play their visual novels and their dating sims. Like, he gives them advice and everything. This is never explored again. This gets dropped immediately. But it's like, oh, no, he actually takes that title seriously. And then, yeah, the actual... Carry on, Mike.
But yeah, so that's the reason why he gets called to action, as it were, because he's so good at damn good at dating sims. Obviously, he'd be really good at dating in real life.
Well, no, I think the whole point there is it was a misunderstanding.
It was a misunderstanding.
They were like,
yes.
Oh, this guy's conquered the hearts of 10,000 ladies, not realizing that they're video game characters.
And not realizing that this guy's a weep shut in, otaku shut in, whatever, who just plays dating sims
really
and does nothing else.
I feel he, if he didn't have to go to school, I feel he would be in
well,
his
yes.
room. In
yes,
his room
definitely.
Or in Akihabara.
Yeah, shut in the professional sense rather than the practical sense.
Shut in the sense you're a shut in.
Yes, I can and will go outside. Just don't really wanna. Except he plays dating sims, so he's worse. Totally, he's worse than me. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I knew Mike would dislike this from the start, considering he hates visual novels.
Oh, fucking...
I mean, yeah, there is that as well.
I really do hate visual novels. It's like, I'll get back to my actual point in a second. But as a little bit of a tangent here, there is no other kind of game genre that I actively dislike closing in on hate than visual novels. Because, and this didn't even come up that much in the one visual novel episode we did, but I really dislike visual novels. I find them the most boring, dull shit. And this is essentially just visual novel, the manga.
I would disagree with that.
I would.
I would not, but I'm one who said
it's anime and manga tropes, the manga.
All the same, it's close enough that
it's a manga about tropes and visual and about visual novels, but it is not in and of itself like playing out like a visual novel.
For me, like the visual novel aspect is a very minor thing.
I wouldn't say minor. It's like a key character motivation.
Yeah, but the point is in terms of the story we're told, like we're told. Essentially, its impact is quite big in that it is his defining motivation. He wants to play more dating sims.
I mean, hell, one of the chapters is entirely about I'm going to play them more.
Sure.
Yes. And he plays six at once, which I thought was a little funny.
He's the god, man.
He is the god. He's a literal god gamer.
He says if he were all visual novels, he could do 12.
Yeah.
And like, on top of all that, because of the very nature of this manga, it's a serial rom-com. And it's just like everything I fucking hate about manga and gaming all put together. This thing was pure suffering to read through.
I mean, this is tangenting now, but I just, like, I can get not being a fan of visual novels because at the end of the day, you are just reading a very long story.
Hmm.
But ultimately, it's like, I hate them. It's like, what? It's just, it's a book with pictures.
Yeah. It's a boring book with pictures.
But not every visual novel is boring, especially nowadays that you have English language visual novels, which are expanding the format in so many ways. So just do a sweeping statement, essentially saying all prose is trash. Is like, what are you talking about?
Would that be too extreme? Just to say that there is no good written word in the world.
Did you not enjoy Needy Girl Overload or whatever it was?
Oh,
called?
No, this is Needy Streamer Overload.
Needy Streamer Overload. My bad.
It was fine. And the reason why it was fine is because...
You like Persona? Those games have about as much dialogue as a visual novel?
Except they have more gameplay.
Then play a gameplay visual novel.
I was going to say, you do have visual novels with gameplay.
Go play Ace Attorney.
I'm not playing visual novels! Stop trying to shame me to...
I'm just saying, this has happened multiple times with you, where you try and justify this random hatred, but it just doesn't make sense when you dissect it.
I mean, I feel
between... Mike's hatred of visual novels, and from what we've learned on this podcast, Mike just hates reading in general.
God has cursed me with the ability to read. Therefore, I hate.
I know it's a classic critique of us. I do feel this one can be a bit wordy at times. It varies from heroine to heroine, and some of them it makes sense. Like, there's a library heroine towards the end, and it makes sense that she speaks a lot, because her whole gimmick is she speaks a mile a minute in her mind. I get why she has to have a narrative. I really don't need to know every single girl's blood type, date of birth, time of birth in Kamer's case. We're told that for no fucking reason. like, oh, likes this, like, especially when none of this actually comes up. I'm like, I don't need an essay on every girl. Please just focus on what's important, not their blood type.
And I would just say on that, blood type's like a whole thing. I say a whole thing.
It's irrelevant to the plot.
Yeah.
Stick it in. The thing is, I'd say stick it in the Omaki, but they do. There is an Omaki page for each girl. So leave that shit on there and don't have it infect the main story.
Now that's where you've got to put the three sizes, Sean. Although I think he only does like height and.
Just put all of that shit at the end, which they do already, and don't have it take up valuable space.
I might be wrong about this, but I believe blood type is part of the whole compatibility zodiac.
Yeah, yes, it's Japan's version of like zodiac signs.
Yes, like where were you born? Like what time were you born?
Good for it. It never comes up in the actual story, so just snip, cut.
I mean, hey, maybe because he's the god of dating visual novels. He needs that information to be able to make an accurate
then
assessment.
Have him say that.
I don't know. Maybe just useful information. You know. I thought it was useful information. Now I know those things.
You get loads of that, and then you don't get anything when the third fucking heroine just develops the ability to turn fucking invisible, and they just nonchalantly just shake that off like that's a normal thing that happens. Like
they do.
What?
They explain that's because the
no, they don't. They literally never state why that happens. You can infer that it's because she's got a demon spirit, but at no point do they ever say that. Because I specifically checked for that on my second reading. They do not mention that at any point. Insane.
Yes.
Good. Anyway, Mike, your original point.
Let the hate flow through you. I'll make a manga hater of you yet.
No, the best part is Phil's going to be treating this as a massive betrayal because of what will come out at the end of the episode. But we'll get there. Anyway, your point.
Anyway. I actually don't remember what my point was, but what I was
talking
about.
I think we were
going
through the premise.
Yeah, we went a bit off track from the premise.
Point was, Mike hates visual novels.
They hide in the corners of your heart. You fill a heart.
By romancing them, essentially. And once you get to the point where, like, yes, we love, and we do that love's first kiss type situation, then the demon escapes. Ah, catch it in a jar. But then, because the writer clearly saw a flaw in the longevity of this. They're like, right, if he's going to be romancing everyone at school, they're going to find out about each other. How's he going to, like, maintain that many relationships? They just conveniently go, oh yeah, they forgot about that. That's fine. You've romanced them and moved on.
Here's the thing. I don't have a bigger issue with that, because again, that is a means to an end, and yeah, you would start having compounding issues as more and more than that. My issue is that only affects the heroine, not to say all of their friend group.
Yeah.
And so, like, some of them, he's quite good at being subtle about. Some of them, he is wooing in front of the entire school.
Yes. This is very much a, it only works if you don't think about it too hard. I will say, in this thing's favor, it might be about visual novels, it might be about tropes, it might be a rom-com, but it is fairly original in all of that. Like, I don't know if I've seen this kind of plot before, personally. I don't know how original it is, because I don't actively seek this kind of story out, but it's original to me, so that's something.
Phil will be able to comment better on that. Certainly, I feel like it's a smart-ish way of if you want to do a rom-com that has a lot of female characters in it, like some might say episodic approach to having female characters, and this is probably like a decent enough way of doing that where it doesn't all just where you don't have to limit it, because otherwise you've got 10 girls going, but I'm his waifu.
I was going to call it a harem, but it's very literally
not a harem. Yeah.
it does also give you a way of sort of kind of lampshading the stereotypes of the girls as well. So it's like,
very, very good personalities and stereotypes. Yes.
See, I don't mind so much of the tropes and that, because again, that's half the point of it. I am glad that they move past, like, they do this in volume one and then they move past it. In volume one, he's very much, no, an athletics girl has to have a ponytail. She has to wear bloomers. No, and a Josema has to do this and this. And they kind of a little sister character has to be like this, and then they kind of push that part of him to the side, luckily, in Volume 2. He's no longer dictating that how dare all girls should be like this. Like,
it's because, so that's sort of down to him himself. Obviously, he's sort of said, and he says it throughout what we read, he's not interested in reality. People aren't as interesting to him as his 2D waifus. They behave the way he would expect them to behave, and he likes that, and real people are... He doesn't say this, but real people are confusing and complicated, I guess, and he doesn't like that.
That's fine. I guess I just... it was more just like in Volume 1 how he's virtue. No, you have to conform to these. In Volume 2, he seems to accept the crazy notion that people are their own individuals, and he can match them to archetypes, but he's not going to then be like, no, this library girl must do this. Like, no, that part gets dropped.
It's surprising that he is so very disinterested in, like, dating real people, because he's apparently fucking amazing at it.
Oh, yeah, he has no issues at any point. Like, he moans. He moans throughout the whole way. Okay, yeah, I get that, but he moans throughout the whole way and goes, oh, no, it's they're so messy, but then he just has literally nothing goes wrong for him at any point in these two volumes. He nails all four conquests.
Giggity. And he...
No, he doesn't, Sean. It ends with the kiss.
He drops that fucking catchphrase, and then suddenly he is successful.
He goes QED, and wait, wrong series.
He effectively does say QED. Yes.
Believe it.
He says, "I can see the end," and then, which is pretty fucking pessimistic, honestly. Like, I don't know if that just didn't translate very well, but he's basically like, I can see the
goal. It's visual novels, Mike.
I was going to say, the whole point is he's treating this like
one of
the dating sims. So he's saying, all right, from this point, I can see the route to the end, like the actions and the things he's got to say.
I'm aware of that. It's just that. The translation is like, I can see the end. Like, oh, buddy, you okay? Just makes it sound a lot more sad than it is. Or
he's not nihilistic, so you know.
A little creepy, though. Like, considering his whole shtick is, yes, it is my job to make these people fall in love with me. It's like, oh, no. It's kind of gross when you think about it a bit too much.
It's not like he's going like, ah, ha, ha, yes, this is my chance to be like, he's begrudging.
I was going to say, it's not like he's doing this through choice in a way.
I mean, he might be. I mean, maybe this whole thing is...
I mean, the choice is die.
I was going to say...
Well, you don't know that! We don't know that!
Oh, for God's sake,
we're explicitly told this, Mike.
Told? Sure. Shown? No.
That's because you can't show it, you'd be dead!
Good!
Just being contrary for no reason, Mike.
Your face is contrary for no reason. Fucking nailed that one.
God.
But, yeah, the whole thing is just a little bit off to me, and I get that he doesn't have a choice, so supposedly, and I mean, who knows, maybe the demon lady in his head is literally all in his head, and he's just doing this, and...
Alright, I'll save the effort, Mike. It's not all a dream, he's not dead.
It's real. Like, I get, yes, it is manipulative, but it is also, in the context of the story, do this, or A, you die, and then B, this girl potentially gives birth to a demon.
I also don't really see how, because this whole thing is obviously being done in secret to some degree. I'm not sure how they keep it secret with the sheer amount of property damage that's in this thing. And I get that it's
magical demon maid can hide that.
Like, I understand that it's for comedic effect, you're not really supposed to think about it too hard, but there is a surprising amount of just infrastructural damage.
You like Megas, you can't complain about this.
Yeah, but in Megas, that's the joke.
You're saying it's not in all of the anime and manga where they deliberately go OTT?
I'm sorry.
No, in Megas, they really go OTT.
They do, because there's that one episode where they go the whole episode without destroying New Jersey. And like, wait, we've not destroyed New Jersey. Like,
wait, something's wrong.
Something's wrong. And then they just destroy it for no reason. It's like, ah.
Fucking love that show.
Oh. 10 out of 10 show.
I feel the biggest problem with that in some ways is because of it's so episodic, it is girls are essentially boiled down to a trope, a twist, a resolution, and you're done. Off you go. Bye.
I mean, you say it's episodic.
Within the context of these two volumes, we'll never see you again. I'm aware that's not the case, but in the context of this, gone forever.
Like, you call it episodic, but each girl, as it were, each episode is like 3 or 4 chapters long.
Yeah, they're a lot shorter than I thought they would be.
Oh, thank Christ they were. Especially because chapter 1, 60 pages, I'm like, oh no, not again.
I mean, that's just normal for
I was
like,
say, chapter I know. Is long.
I'm just saying, I've been burned multiple times in quite recent weeks where I'm like, oh, the first chapter's 100 pages long. Okay, that's just the first chapter. No, it isn't.
QED that... was the exception here, Mike.
Yes.
I've been burned, Phil.
It's more, I guess, and this is especially, like, I feel the pacing in the manga version of this is rough. I will say at this point, for people wondering how I have all this knowledge, I've watched all 3 seasons of the anime. That's how I know a lot of this. What we covered in these 2 volumes is essentially most of season 1. But like the anime generally gives, once it gets into the flow of it, the anime gives it like 3 episodes per girl, whereas this does it in 4 chapters, and you can tell that the chapters just feel so rushed compared to how the anime gets to take a more laid back and nuanced approach. Like, I just, the pacing in this manga version is just, it has to be just so rapid and snapping on and on, whereas the anime gets time to actually develop the characters beyond, as I said, a trope, a twist, a resolution.
I do think the pacing is just, it's not so much that it's too fast, I think it's just very inconsistent. There were times when, and don't get me wrong, obviously you want times to slow down and just like absorb stuff, but there are times that feel a lot slower than others. So like, feels like they really jam on the brakes for like short periods of time and then smash the accelerator again.
Are you by any chance all about the chapters that don't have heroines?
Yeah.
See, I was going to say, I like that fact, is you do get that break in between the different heroines.
That's fine, but they're badly timed. Like, the anime, one of many times where the anime does it better, the anime sticks that whole I'm going to catch up with my games thing at the end of season 1 after 4 conquests, whereas in this one it does it at the end of volume 1 after 2. So it comes across as like, oh god, I've not played games for a whole fortnight, and oh, look at these 50 million games, and I'm like, I don't feel like we've earned this yet. You've barely been doing this for a week or two.
That's how obsessed he is, I guess. That's how addicted he is.
It just makes more sense at the end, like, to put it after 4 conquests, it makes a bit more sense.
To be clear, like, we pretty much always see him with his totally not a PSP in his hand.
PFP, thank you.
Yeah, like I said, totally distinct, not a PSP.
Why would it be a PSP? It's a PFP.
I don't know. But why would it?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a PlayStation Portable.
Nailed it, buddy.
That's, I don't know what else it could be.
That's why we bring you in.
That's why they pay me the big bucks.
Yes, they do commit to that bit very hard. Like, he is in almost every opportunity where he can, playing games.
Oh yeah, like, in many scenes where it doesn't even make sense as well. Like when he's finally figured out how he can see the end of the line with that person, how he can see his way to his victory, his conquest over the girls. He just randomly pulls it out like, yes. Video game. Was like, why? You're not even playing it.
He plays it at the bath. He plays it at school. Although I do like the one liner where the person's like, how dare you play games? It's like, but I got 100% and I'm listening to the class, so.
Oh yeah.
There's nothing really to get mad about here. I'm a perfect student.
It's like, yeah, his attitude sucks, but also he's getting 100%.
I really dislike this main character. I mean, he's nowhere near as bad as some of the people we've seen for obvious reasons, but he just rubbed me up the wrong way, very much so. Like, I find it really hard to believe that this guy's a freaking Casanova who can charm god knows how many people over the next period of time.
Because he's played in so many visual novels, Mike, and you can translate all of that knowledge into the real world.
Famously, that's how that goes, yeah.
I mean... It's tricky because, yes, there are some parts of it that hold true. Like, yes, you need to, in fact, interact with these women if you want to ever stand a chance with them. You can't just lust over them from afar.
Yeah, it's just the audacity of this thing to believe that because you've played 10,000 routes of visual novels, you can logic your way through everyone's emotional state. It boils these people down to just, like, numbers on a screen, which nobody is.
That's like, the thing. I think it would be better if he had issues. Like, I get not necessarily with the first one, because that's essentially the first one is a track and field girl. It's essentially the example of just like, this is how it's going to go. But yeah, it would be nice if he actually had issues with any of the other ones after that, rather than essentially they all just fall into what he's expecting. And then occasionally he's like, oh, okay, it's this scenario, not this one.
It's just moving fucking on. Annoying how like arrogant he is over it and how like confident he is that, ah, yes, I've definitely solved this because of these irrefutable facts that I just made up. And it's just so annoying to see like all of these characters. And I understand that these female the protagonists, these heroines, these conquests, they're not really meant to be all that important. They are just meant to be the things he checks off of a list almost. But man, it's so annoying just to see them boiled down to a set of you are like this, therefore this. And it's like, that's not how people are. And then he likes to confront them with this knowledge. Like, I know that you're not like this because of this. And they just go, instead of going like, ew, get away from me, you creepy, weird, facts and statistics-based nerd who thinks I'm a visual novel character. No, they go, yeah, you're right. Let's fucking smooch. It's like, what?
I don't think it's ever quite portrayed in the harsh way that you're putting it there.
It is definitely for the first one. Because he literally sees he watches a track and field girl trip over a hurdle and hurt herself, so she can't be at the next track meet or something. And he says, like, after watching that, he says his catchphrase is like, the demon lady whose name I don't remember.
I'll say.
Sure. She says, like, oh no, this is a huge setback. And he's like, no, it's actually a huge leap forward. I figured it out. And then he confronts her after school, when she's like literally limping and on crutches, and she's like, you're not hurt at all, and I can prove it. And then that somehow snowballs into them making out.
I mean, he proves it because he's noticed the thing that she actually does, not because he's playing
yeah.
a game in that case.
And as far as I can tell, they hadn't really spoken at all before that. That's just creepy, man. Like, how does that turn into her heart is filled with love for this boy?
I mean, so they were already aware of each other, which was established at the start because...
Sure, they're in the same class,
like,
yeah.
Same class, doing cleaning duty together and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure.
And also, this is coming off a week of him supporting her, as it were, with all the silly little banners and nonsense. So she's very much aware of him and his feelings in a very
I don't know, like, that. It all just comes off to me very creepy. And, like, I don't know, maybe this is a cultural difference
I'm not saying it's not... a bit creepy, but also, again, his hand is forced. He has to do this or his head comes off.
No, that part I'm, in principle, I'm agreeing with you on. But it's like, from her point of view, like, just imagine, like, anyone rocks up into your life and then starts giving you way too much attention. And then over, like, the course of that week, way too much attention. And at the end of the week, they call you out on some bullshit, basically. And, like, they call you out on it because of all the things they've observed about you.
So,
creepy,
some people,
man.
Like, would find that sweet.
They shouldn't. It's fucking
some people
creepy.
Like being the center of attention.
It's... No. I can't imagine that actually working with a human.
I feel seen is a phrase for a reason.
Yeah, okay, feeling seen is a thing, I agree with you. But, like, that hardcore over the course of 1 week, when they basically... hadn't really talked before then. Like, yes, they were aware of each other, but I've been aware of a lot of people in my life I've never talked to.
Again, I agree, but I feel it has to cut out the initial steps 1, 2, and 3, because firstly, this manga rushes through a lot of the things in that regard, and secondly, yeah, you're against the clock that you don't know when it strikes midnight.
Well, all of this to say that I just hate this character and the way he's portrayed. I understand that they cut out a bunch of shit for the sake of time, but that's important shit in the process. If you're supposed to actually... Bear in mind, these girls are supposed to have... Like, their heart is filled with love. They're supposed to love this boy. Like, presumably, that's supposed to be, like, a lasting love, even though they are... Their memories are snapped away. Like, that's what that has to mean. They have to be filled with love. They have to have nowhere for this demon inside them to hide. That happens after 1 week of... being creeped on, and it's portrayed as because this guy is so damn good at reading the signs that he can confront them with this big truth about themselves, and they're like, oh yes, that's great. Like, I hate it.
This is why you hate Fly Me to the Moon. I'm glad we finally got to the bottom of that mystery.
Wait, okay, How does that compare to that?
Where people, it's impossible for people to fall in love at first sight. That's, which isn't what happens in the world Gonios, to be clear, but it's impossible. Like, people need to have at least been in a relationship for X period before they get married.
I don't think love at first sight really exists. Call me a cynic if you want.
You can, that's fine. You don't have to believe it. It was more just how you had such a problem with the principle of marriage at first sight.
Marriage at first sight is dumb, regardless of whether or not you're love at first sight.
That was never the debate. It was just how massive a problem you had with it. Like,
I still have
exist.
A massive problem with it.
Like, it's a thing that happens. There's Channel 4 shows about it.
Yeah, and they're dumb. That's the point.
No one's arguing if it's dumb or not. It was just that you were like, this conceptually cannot happen. And like, well, it does.
Less than it cannot happen, and more that it would not happen.
But it does!
No.
It does happen in the real world.
Go listen to that episode to see my clearly much better point.
Many episodes afterwards where this fight has continued over the years. I mean, to be fair, my biggest problem with the protagonist is less the creep factor, which I, again, can see. I'm not denying that part.
And arrogance.
But when you've cleared the 10,000 video games, okay, you've earned that somewhat.
Disagree. Hard disagree.
When you're getting 100% in school and you're doing pretty much, he's perfect in every way outside of he's not athletic.
Like, the arrogance comes from the fact that he can just apparently boil people down to these basic things, which he just assumes are correct.
I mean, I don't feel that it's arrogant towards girls in the real world. That's more because he has to actually work on them more than anything. But either way, my issue is more that he doesn't really progress as a character. In fact, no one progresses as characters. And I get why with the heroines, because essentially they get to have their resolution where maybe they gain self-confidence or something in the case of Canon, or in the case of Mio, are able to move on from their father's death. But because they get swept away again, it doesn't really count. So it's, and Elsie doesn't change at all from start to finish, Isla, the companion character. So it's like, there's no real long-term narrative here whatsoever. There's no evolution of character. And what we have currently, it is just find girl with demon in, make them fall in love, next girl, the end.
Yes.
Keep going. There's no longer term. It's not like, say, some series might go where they'd be like, oh man, no, there's 100, even if it was just a throwaway line, like there's 100 demons in this school that we need to clear. At least then you have like a narrative that is being worked towards.
Yeah, because
One down.
I was afraid that I may have just missed this, but was there ever like a number given of how many times you have to do this?
There's just lots.
Yeah, like that's not.
There are, as long as the manga runs, that many.
A while then.
It doesn't come up in this at all, and I don't know when about the manga it is. They do start bringing some of the girls back later on in later arcs.
Does he romance them a second time?
No, the fun is, like, I won't go, yes and no, I won't go into the details of it, but due to circumstances, some of them start getting their memories back. So then, you do have to start dealing with those fun issues of Canon and some of the other girls going, wait a minute, I kissed you.
Wait a minute, I thought we were going out, what are you doing with all these other girls?
Yeah, but that's a long way. I don't know when about in the manga that happens, but it's definitely down the line at least.
I wouldn't know.
But yeah, for the context of these two volumes, there is literally no evolution or long-term narrative.
There's no character development of any kind, which is a little sad. Like, the closest thing we get is, I've already forgotten her name, demon character.
Elsie.
Yep. Elsie. I don't know why that won't stick in my brain. It's a simple name.
Sorry. Elsie de Luterma.
Okay, that's not Elsie. Happening.
Elsie.
no fucking chance of remembering that.
No, she didn't have Von in her name, so...
No, that was last episode.
I mean, no, Elsie's biggest problem is she's useless, but go on.
Well, yes, and that's kind of a character trait for her, because she's literally been a janitor for the last 300 years or something. Which is why she has a magic broom, randomly, which can blow holes in houses. Anyway. Yeah, like, the closer you get to character development is her wanting to stick around the main character more, which actually does go into the one joke I found really quite funny in this.
Oh god, where
no! I found it quite funny that
I've got one note on her. I've got one of my notes on her. On my notes is overused joke of, and I won't say what it is. If you say it now, we're going
to
fight.
No, I don't think so. It's when she wants to stick around the protagonist to try and clear as many demons as possible. So she wants to be his little sister. And that part does get overplayed. But the way she originally starts this is she rocks up to his house and she just outright blurts out to his mother that I am your husband's illegitimate child. And she's yes. like, oh, that's nice. And then gets fucking furious on the phone with him and is like, we're getting a divorce. It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, she presents a perfectly forged note because, again, demon.
Sure.
So, yeah, and then just gets accepted into the family.
I think the thing I like as well is, obviously, you get that joke, and I feel like you would have some series that would just leave it at that. But you then have the follow-up after that where he's talking to her and he's like, this is serious. My mother's talking about getting a divorce now.
Yeah. They're like, that's also like, you get why it's kind of funny. They keep it going. It's like, no, my parents are getting a divorce. What the fuck?
On the one hand, yes. On the other hand, can you get divorced from a character who never appears?
Well, yes.
Hey, we got one parent. What more do you want?
You did. And she does appear in the background a few times. Like, sadly, she doesn't appear nearly as much as she does in that chapter, but she is in the background a few times.
God, imagine having two parents on screen. That would
be, it's a bit too much. Oh. But yeah, to be no, that bit is funny. The overused joke for her, I find, is they keep going like, oh, she cooks crazy shit using stuff from hell. How she insane. It's like, okay.
I mean, she does, and that is overused, but I do like the designs of the stuff that she cooks.
Oh, sure, yeah, like this tentacle treasure chest style thing, being look, it's a bento that won't go off.
Bento.
Because it's not, because it's alive.
One of them was like just a hand on top of some rice or something.
A hamburger.
What? A hamburger, yeah.
Oh, God.
But yeah, I like those. They're fine. Like, the actual joke of her cooking weird and wacky shit is a bit overplayed, but like the actual things she comes up with are pretty great. What, you didn't like hamburger?
I didn't get it. I don't think they ever say hand.
No, they don't ever give it a name, but it was...
So I never got that. I thought it was just, oh yeah, here you go. Just eat the thing from the Addams Family.
Thing, no! I watched... Oh, fuck, what was it called?
Wednesday,
fuck, I just forgot that. It's a day of the week, how do I forget that? I watch Wednesday, that's not how it goes down.
I mean, you don't stream on that day, so it doesn't exist.
That is true. I don't stream on Wednesdays, except when I do.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and in that case, though, if we're talking about Fear and Loathing, what did you think of the other break chapters, as it were, where you get to see it from both perspectives, where she is just trying to
make the cake?
I was like, wait, didn't I read this?
I will admit, I had that for a brief moment.
Like, are we just recapping or what?
Yeah, I had the same thing because it is in the anime, but I completely blacked on it. I'm like, wait,
no, wait, is this fucking Endless 8 all over again? No, anything but that.
Endless 8's great. It's amazing.
Anything but that.
I will defend Endless 8 until the day I die.
Fucking awful.
Man, we finally found Sean's hill.
It's like, there is, it makes you relate to the suffering of Yuki. Perfectly, because you two are suffering.
You can do that without making me need to skip like 6 episodes of an anime.
No, because that's part of the suffering.
Artistic
no, it's not.
Genius, Phil.
It is artistic genius.
It's not.
Fuck your sarcasm. Brilliant.
I watched it all. It was awful.
Amazing.
Pointless.
Masterpiece.
See, now it's great because I'm getting Schadenfreude from it.
So, yeah, Elsie is just, and even Kaver calls out this, she's useless. She contributes next to nothing in any of the conquests. Outside of occasionally explaining basic premise stuff, she does nothing. Literally, in the final one, she's obsessing over fucking fire trucks.
What are you talking about? She, tells them their blood type.
Does she? I mean, that's just the narrative box you get.
Yeah, that's contributing.
Is she...
She,
like,
she
the most she contributes is that she hides some things using her magic cloak.
Like giant holds in buildings.
She tracks Mio.
She does.
She tracks Mio is probably her highlight in these entire four
chapters. That is perhaps, yes, the most useful thing she does, except for maybe cutting a hole in the roof of the library so he can get in.
She's the jar holder.
She captures the spirits.
Again, the spirits are really an afterthought. It's literally, they're out, caught, done, moving on.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, it ties into the point I made way earlier of, like, the hell stuff is really just kind of a set dressing more than an actual justifiable reason for being there. This is what old Mike would have hated.
Old Mike hates this.
I mean, it's shit, like, if Beware the Villainess, where you were like, they don't justify them being a werewolf. This is terrible. Whereas in this one, they don't justify it being hell. You've not even got off slightly on that. So.
Do you want to know why?
Because you don't care.
No, that's not it as such. I mean, I don't, but that's not the point. The reason why I've not gone off on the that being an afterthought thing is because it's the only thing which stops this being completely insufferable.
Wow, okay.
It's like, literally, if they didn't have any of that stuff, they didn't have any of these hooks or anything that made it outside of the norm of just this guy makes a harem for no reason, then it would be completely insufferable. I don't think I would have been able to finish reading it.
I think if you don't have this sort of context of he's doing this to capture the spirit, and obviously they lose their memory afterwards, he would be a much worse character. Like, if it was just
I completely agree, but you can... There are other ways you can accomplish this. If you're going to use hell and all that, then use hell.
I kind of get what you're saying, because... A completely different example. Comic books in the West.
Okay.
Okay,
so have to be right, slightly right. More
specific. No. I'm trying to think of how to word this. Give
your Supermans, your Batmans, your Spider-Mans.
Not so much
Giant Days, Invincible.
Would you fucking... Okay. So not so much the characters, but like the actual physical comic books themselves. They don't make the money that these companies have. Like, that's not where they make their money. They make their money through merchandise.
Yeah. Merchandise. Yeah.
Yeah. Except they couldn't sell that merchandise without the comics. The comics literally need to exist so they can make their money. But that's not where they made their money. And I see that as the same sort of situation with the hell stuff in this. Where it's like, the hell stuff, and that sounds a lot more cool when you call it hell stuff rather than just this dude with a jar. That stuff needs to exist for this story to exist.
Oh, it's a means to an end, absolutely.
But, like, that doesn't need to... Like, if that was removed, that wouldn't work, but it also, that doesn't need to be an integral part of that, so to speak.
I just want it to have slightly more... Like, the closest you get, and again, they don't state it outright in what we do, but you can infer it, and I'm pretty sure it does get confirmed later on, and in the anime. Is Canon, the third heroine, who starts gaining gains the magic ability to turn invisible.
Yeah, that does happen.
Do a little bit more with that, because that...
I thought that's exactly where this was going. I thought the idea was, okay, the first one's just... I think of it like card captors, right? Where the first one is just a gimme, and then everyone after that starts to get a little more complicated in a different way. So, like, this one's got the ability to go invisible, or this one... can do this thing, or
this one locks you in a fucking eternal labyrinth. This one,
something like that. Yeah, like there's a gimmick to each one, but no, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, you're right. This is more like card captor clear card, which is just that in every capture, as opposed to OG card captors.
I think part of it comes down to, and this is admittedly with the benefit of having read more, obviously, sort of the narrative later on. Sort of requires there to have been so many heroines and have them gone through this process. So this is kind of why I think you've got sort of this feeling it's rushing through some of them, because obviously in some ways it kind of is, because obviously if it's just going to be this, what we've read in two volumes for the next 20 odd volumes, whatever it is, then yeah, you're just going to be like, well, you know, I've read two volumes, I'm good, and I know the rest. You're changing up your stereotypical girl and a little bit of set dressing. Whereas, obviously, at some point they go, all right, we've got this many girls, we can move on to the next thing, as it were.
Oh, and that's season 3 is probably the best one. But, probably. I can't remember because it's been so long. But and that is one that has taken place at a later point in the story. Like, it's like, to use the two heroines from Volume 2 as the example, then, you have Shiori, who's the fourth one overall, the latter one.
The
library girl. And hers really does feel like a rush and like a simplification, because it's just a girl who speaks a lot internally, So he provokes her until that kind of swaps around, so she starts saying what she's thinking out loud. And then they get locked in the library together, and the lights go out, and he pulls her out of a pile of books, and there you go, boom, job done. And like, we feel like we've missed several steps here.
Yeah, like
this feels really forced. Like, it's
the
like
entire
fixed.
Relationship is what we skipped. Yes,
I was gonna say, like, that one, I'm really like, I don't feel like you've solved any of her issues here. You've just hung out with her for a bit.
Well, her main issue was she wasn't vocalizing her thoughts. Basically, she had that many thoughts, she was always slow to speak.
By provoking her
and getting her to even speak, he's sort of flipping that around.
But that's not love.
Yeah, no. Then she's in love with him. Like, that's it. That it goes from, he brings her slightly out of her shell, love. There's no in-between.
I feel there's like another chapter or two to go there of like, that's the start, and then go a bit further. It's not like the other one in that one, which is Canon, who, for starters, I don't remember her being this weird pseudo yandere with stun guns, but I guess that might happen. But the point is more like, there is an actual arc with her, and her one, ultimately, it's less about her being in love with him and more just giving her self-confidence and that.
Well, yeah, because I think that's sort of the big thing, in a way. Like, we're told, obviously, he's got to make them fall in love with him, close the gap in their hearts, is what they say. But I get the impression you don't literally necessarily have to fall in love. It's sort of helping them resolve their issue, in a way, like the big thing for them. So for Karen, it was her self-confidence. Yeah. For Shiori, it's being able to voice her opinion.
It's with Shiori. I think it's Canon and Mio where the one gets her self-confidence and then the one helps her move on from her father dying. Although how she's a fucking broke-ass bitch, I don't know. But, you know, whatever. Ignore those details.
I would agree with you in that regard, but it's very, very clear that this is romantically based. Like, there is romance.
Sadly, they all have to end with a kiss.
Yes. Yeah. And so you're very much mixing those things up. If it was literally just he has to help however many people.
Because I think the thing is, it's sort of like, by helping them resolve their issue, obviously the intention is that's him getting close to them. And I suppose there's a line you could go with where they're perhaps misinterpreting that in a way.
Oh God, this guy can never be a therapist. That's a recipe for disaster, right?
Should probably clarify as well. They are all yield traditional anime high school, so it is a bit. It makes sense that they're not fully emotional.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, some of them might have been in previous relationships. We're not really told, but presumably they don't have a lot of experience with the dating world.
Because what you're describing in psychology is called transference. It is a literal thing which therapists and counselors, whatever you call them in your relative country. They were literally trained to how to deal with and how to avoid. It's because when someone is going through something traumatic and there's one person who starts to help them, the people have a habit of like attaching
the positive emotions.
I mean, I would argue that's Canon's entire chapter, because she goes, "Oh man," and then sends him mail like 50 times in a day.
This is being portrayed as like a good thing, and that's actually fucked up.
I mean, yeah, the fundamental act of helping them isn't fucked up.
No, that's like, fine. No, but it's the fact that it's then like, I'm going to use this to make you fall in love with me.
But it's fine, Mike. They forget about him.
That doesn't make it better. Especially,
it does.
Especially if they start to remember it later. But no, like, ethically speaking, just because someone forgets about
ethically, sure. No, that's not fine. But practically,
I watched The Good Place again. And just because someone forgets about something doesn't make it okay.
All I'm saying, Mike, is in the nicest way, if you're worried about ethics, the whole story's fucked up already anyway.
Yes.
He's trying to make them fall in love with.
To be clear, if you're going to quote The Good Place, he has been told and made to do this by hell.
Yes.
Also true.
The Bad Place, I think you'll find it's called.
Right, The Bad Place, my bad. So, no shit, it's bad actions.
Like, I mean, yeah, although I never really got the impression that, like, yes, obviously it's hell and he.
Oh no,
I don't feel like
he's being led astray by
No, this is never portrayed as an evil act. Which is weird, because it so blatantly
like
is.
Elsie is the most happy, low lucky design you could have.
It's sort of portrayed as like a good thing because otherwise they're just going to have these spirits in
exactly
in their
yeah
heart.
Otherwise in 10 years maybe they'll give birth to a demon baby, whatever that entails.
Yes,
and presumably all the bad stuff along the way, who knows,
like turning invisible,
like turning in, yeah. But I mean, just to go
I do know from season 2 there are a few more.
Yeah, there is a bit more. Yeah, later
like I'm pretty
on
sure one of them splits into two, if I remember correctly.
Sounds one painful of them turns really small.
Yes.
Yeah, they do start to be a little non-standard.
And that's good. You need more of that. Yes. Otherwise,
and hopefully he reacts slightly more to that than, oh, she's invisible, that's weird.
Yeah, he doesn't really react to it. And like, I don't care if that's happened in one of your visual novels already. Fuck, that's terrifying.
Especially when that's the girl who carries multiple stun guns and isn't yeah afraid to use them.
Yeah, she can definitely use this power for evil.
No, she uses it for good in that one Amaki where they're like, oh no, the camera doesn't work, and she's like, stun guns it back to life.
Yeah, okay. This is a thing I was going to say earlier.
Right.
They spend a weird amount of time with her and that fucking stun gun. Like, she uses it a lot.
I feel it's because that's probably the first instance where he's had some sort of resistance in a way.
I mean, not, I feel it's not just because that's the funny haha. Look at this, look at this guy well getting stunned.
Sure. Like, I don't want to read too far into that because, you know, famously, well, I don't do that.
She has some deep complex. The fact that it's like one person doesn't recognize me and she has an entire emotional breakdown
yeah
over this.
Well, goes full yonder.
She was like, oh my god, he doesn't recognize me. And that's, you know, a blow to her self-confidence. But she's like, oh no, okay, I can move past this. And then it's like, oh yeah, he's in the same classroom. It's like, wait, no, hold the fuck on.
Wait, no, you can't go hold the fuck on when they also say that she's not been there in 2 fucking months.
Yeah, like, yes, I know, but
this person doesn't know me from the class that I'm never in.
Yeah, but that's sort of the point. She's like, but we're classmates. How can you not know your classmate?
Isn't the whole point, though, that she's like an idol in disguise?
I mean, not in disguise,
but
they're all aware of canon.
Oh, they're actually aware of it. Okay, I missed that.
Yeah, the
I mean, it opens up with them talking about her on television, so yeah, they're all. And they people are going, oh my god, did you not hear? She's back! And apparently no one thinks to look for her on the roof, but to be fair, no one thinks to look for her is the worst one of those, isn't that? It's that they're like, where is the invisible girl? And then it takes them several pages to remember, wait, Elsie has a radar. Use that.
Yeah, that's a bit of it could have been a smarter moment, it could have been a smarter solution, but
oh, there could have been lots of smarter things in this series, but we
yes,
never
that's yeah not what this is. It ain't trying to be clever, which is annoying, actually, because without that, it's just kind of dumb all the way through. And I don't mean dumb as in nonsensical, I mean dumb as in not smart. It doesn't have a high IQ, let's put it that way.
I feel the smartest thing it does is probably with the Mio, the second girl, where they build her up as very much an Ajosama. And because it's still early on, this is literally the second girl, you're like, yeah, okay, so it's just going to be this archetype this time. And they're like, oh no, she's actually poor. And I'm like, oh, okay, fair enough. You've implemented your twist early enough that it actually surprises me. But otherwise, yeah, not really. It's ethics, this ain't.
No, that was episode 2.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a callback.
That was episode 2.
Yeah.
Before we even knew what the show was, really.
I was going to say, that was back when we only talked about when we were like 30 to 60 minutes.
Yeah.
If we did Rent a Girlfriend nowadays, we'd rant for 2 hours.
Oh, probably longer. It's a Bleach-length episode right there.
It's no.
Oh man, we should do like a special episode when that does end.
When what? Oh, Rent a Girlfriend. I was going to say Bleach has ended, but we did that.
That's exactly what we did do, in fact. When Rent a you know what,
Mike
sure.
Like, no. Get
no,
away from
no,
that.
I'm my brain is rejecting this idea as I'm saying it, but sure, when Rent a Girlfriend ends, sure, I'll gladly do a special episode on that.
Well, you can host it. It's all yours, buddy.
Just me on my own.
I'll be there with you. I'll have read it all, probably.
Oh, God, no. I'm not. You know, you can pay me.
Now, that's a damn lie. We could definitely
I was going to say,
you.
Like...
Okay.
People
yes,
would
if
say
you were
that.
Like, here's £1 million,
yeah, there
it.
You go.
Sure.
That Is that your price? You, no movement on that? No negotiation?
It's like that Winston Churchill story, isn't it? It's like,
yeah.
Oh no, we've already agreed to the deed, now we're just negotiating the price.
It'll depend on how long it runs for in the end.
Sure. It could run forever.
If it goes for another, like, One Piece-esque 20 years, then that price is not moving. But
that's fair, honestly.
Right, we're getting nearish the end, but I feel like it's time for the bit we always talk about. Art!
Okay, was it just me, or does, like, the art take a dramatic downgrade in quality randomly at one point?
Yes.
Like, you're just going through, and then all of a sudden, downgrade in quality, and it just never recovers.
At one point, it does go into, like, it feels like it's a rough or an animatic at one point. It does feel like it degrades a bit.
Can you think where, roughly?
Somewhere volume 2, I want to say, is where I start noticing it.
It just, like, one day there's a sharp, well, one chapter there's a sharp decline in quality, and then the art just sucks now. I mean, it wasn't great before. I didn't like it.
I mean, I feel my biggest issue with the art is, and this gets slightly better as it goes on, but it's very noticeable, especially when you first see Elsie. So, in the last episode, I talked about how Cecily had the I've been hit in the face with a frying pan syndrome, and Elsie has that to a level. Her eyes are about a mile apart, and...
Fair, I don't think anyone has noses in this.
Sure, because they got hit with a frying pan, so that got flattened. But, the designs look so derpy at first. It gets a bit better as it goes on, but it's really noticeable with Elsie at the start. Just like, this looks like a How to Draw Manga book character.
What year was this from again?
This started in 2008, ran to 2014.
It looks like it started in 1998.
Like, I
really dislike the art style in this.
I don't feel it's a 90s art style at any point.
It looks dated beyond its years. Just the art style goes from, like, being fine. I mean, I don't like it because, yeah, flat faces, gigantic eyes and foreheads.
What's the style at the time?
Sure. It goes from being fine, I guess.
It was Moe Blob era.
Yeah. Fine, I guess. And then there's just one chapter where it's just like, nah, fuck you. It's terrible now. Like,
I can't say I noticed that.
I want to say it was the chapter.
The cakes, maybe?
Yeah, the cakes, yeah. When they repeated a chapter, basically. Yeah. I want to say it was from there. Like, it just suddenly, there's just a sharp downgrade in quality. The art just gets a lot more, like, sketchy and rough. Yeah. And it really does look like someone started to, like, smudge stuff, like charcoal smudging with your thumb kind of thing. It's just, I don't know why they went with that. Like, were they on a deadline and were they rushed? I don't know. It's just a
deadline
noticeable change.
I'm pretty sure this is a weekly because it's 20 pages. So
yes,
deadline
I
is
believe it was weekly.
Actually, yeah, they got through 26 volumes in 6 years. It has to be a weekly.
Yeah, it's notably worse. And that's never a good sign. Like, because you expect things to start out shaky and then get better. You don't expect things to start out shaky and then be noticeably worse.
I mean, I generally expect, even if it's not perfection of the art style, I expect the first couple of chapters to generally be good because they've had more time to work on them.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Either because they're adapted from a one-shot or because, again, with the knowledge that serialization is coming, they have a bit more time to perfect those before they're into the weekly rota.
It's also like, here you go, you're getting your 3 introductory chapters or whatever.
Yeah.
You get extra pages. Make sure it's the best you can make it, kind of thing.
But they also generally get a bit more time on those as well.
Yeah.
Because, well, like, yeah, you're going to be going live in 2 months, so you need these 3 chapters by this date.
Yeah. The point is, it's like, it's your big introduction. Make it as great as you can in the time we've given you.
Yeah. And I mean, this one uses color pages on the hell bit, so entirely irrelevant. But,
well, that was because it was the opening.
Oh, I get that, but it's also like, yeah, this never, a bit of a waste.
This whole manga's a bit of a waste.
Your face is a bit of a waste.
All right.
Close your face.
Ladies, please.
God, how original, Mike. Come up with your own insult.
Your face is an original insult.
And he complains about visual novel writing. So
this is a visual novel writing.
Yeah, I do agree that I feel in the volume 2. And maybe, again, for all I know, this picks up in volume 3, which we've not read, obviously. But yeah, definitely there is a decline in volume 2.
I can't say I noticed anything. Not enough to make me think, oh, that's a noticeable drop at the very least. Maybe it does. Nothing I picked up on. particularly because, like, Volume 2, you've got all the stuff with the library, and I remember that has quite a lot of detail in the background, in the sense that you got a lot of bookshelves with books on them.
It does do backgrounds when it needs to, that I agree with, and I'm pretty sure Michael have no clue, but I'm pretty sure that's Chihiro in the background of one of the chapters, wandering around. I think
the one with the cake, she's the one with the magazine.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I thought so.
Yes, I think so. Not that she's named at that point, but yes.
Who's Chihiro?
You won't meet her at any point in this. She comes, I think, I can't remember if her conquest is in season 2 of the anime or not, if they just don't.
Yes, I did briefly look this up when we were.
Yeah.
While we've been talking.
Yeah, Chihiro, actually, that might be the one of the few that you might have liked, Mike, because Chihiro's gimmick is that she's normal. She's not a trope, she's just a normal girl. It drives him mad because how'd you play that? Visual novels didn't prepare him for this. This is just a normal girl.
Oh my god, it's almost like its entire concept is completely nonsensical.
Okay, buddy.
Because it is!
Like, some people will be fit. Like, tropes exist for a reason. Some people do exist in those tropes. But yeah, the whole point of that is that this is very much a trope buster, a girl who just isn't in any of them. She's just a normal girl who reads magazines and watches TV and stuff like that. Like, how do you conquest this one? I wasn't prepared for this.
I don't know, maybe have an actual fucking conversation for, like, a little while.
I mean, to be fair, Mike, you'd then probably hate her because she actually likes the lead character.
For no reason.
No, like, as in, like, of her own volition.
Ugh, gross. Disgusting. Patui.
That's season 3 content, so can put that.
I never have to worry about it. I mean, I'm totally going to read this. Like, it's not a spoiler for the end of this. It's fine.
Well, I mean, in that case, is there anything else? I feel like we've gone... I know we've not gone into in-depth on each heroine and all that, but that's because there's not a huge amount to say.
I think, by and large, we've covered the broad strokes of the heroine.
Yes. So is there anything else anyone wants to go into?
God, no.
Is there anything else Phil, the World God Only Knows veteran, wants to raise?
The one who actually likes it, yes.
I've not said my opinion yet.
Okay. We'll see.
Nothing I can think of.
Then we will bring this to our usual ending. So in just in case 90 episodes in, this is your first time. And if this is your first episode and you're a World God Only Knows fan, God, I'm sorry. But we ask me and Mike, would we read more? Would we buy it? Or would we watch the adaptation? Bear in mind, obviously, you can't buy this currently and will likely never be able to. And in Phil's case, would he buy it? Would he watch it? And would he recommend it? We will go, you know what? Let's get Captain Negativity out the way first. Let's get our beloved, constantly negative prick. So, Mike.
I'm not the negative one. You guys are negative.
I can be negative. That's true. And I feel I have been in this episode, but yeah. Would you read more? Would you buy it if it became available? And would you watch the 3 seasons?
Okay, so I'm going for my little conclusion here. I'm going to try my best to remove any bias I have to rom-coms, visual novels. I'm going to try my best. I'm not going to say I'm going to succeed. I'm going to try my best to remove any bias I have towards those.
The next words out of his mouth will be fuck no.
Exactly. I've got to describe why it's fuck no first. Okay, so this story does not endear itself to me. Like, the concept is, I will grant, more interesting than your standard harem rom-com-esque thing that might be doing something similar. So it does endear itself to me a bit more in that regard because it has an interesting hook. But it has a real issue with not really exploring that hook all that well. It does kind of just devolve into a weird slice of life. And I do say weird because it's not a slice of anybody's life. It's not a normal situation. It's funny sometimes. I'll give it that. There is some legitimate comedy here. Like, I actually did find the whole accidentally the divorce thing at the beginning. That was actually pretty funny. But no, I can't. It hurt me reading this. It did. Like, it's not bad. Like, the way that we say things are, like, bad or disgusting or gross, nothing like that. It's pretty toothless, realistically. I would say it's a smidge problematic because, you know, the actual ethics involved of doing this. But it's not like trying to teach you that you should do this to people or anything. It's not like on the level.
This is not Minamoto's story.
Yeah, like it's not on that level. It's just kind of not fun for me to read. I did not enjoy this whatsoever. I hated his stupid fucking catchphrase so much. Like every time he said it, it just infuriated me. Honestly, I'd never be able to enjoy this. Even if I remove all of my biases, I hate this main character. I don't dislike the premise, but it's not utilized very well. They could have explored a lot more, they just weren't really wanting to. It is comedic, but it doesn't commit enough to the comedy to make it interesting on that front, in my opinion. This is just a fuck no, in pretty much all regards to me. I didn't like reading it, and I was so very thankful when the chapters shortened out a bit. If every episode was, or every chapter was, like 60 pages or something, I would have been upset. Because, man, I did not vibe with this whatsoever. And I can understand other people vibing with it more than me. Like, I get how this would endear itself to some people.
You mean people who look at visual novels and aren't just filled with intense hatred for no reason?
Probably, yeah. And it's not no reason, just not one I'm willing to explain to you, apparently.
Not one that you're able to explain.
But yeah, it's not for me. I definitely won't be buying it. I definitely won't be definitely won't be reading it anymore. And I honestly would watch so many things before even thinking about trying this, before watching this. So no, I won't watch it either. It's just a no-go for me. I hated it so fucking much. It hurt a little bit. It really did.
Well, your pain is at an end. You can until Trashtacular, you can think of the series no more. So if you've been listening to this show for a while, you'll know that there's a conclusion I come to with a lot of these series where I'm like, I wouldn't read it, I wouldn't buy it, but you know, if the anime fixed out the rough edges, like did some amends here and there, I could see myself watching that. This is that series. This is the one where the anime did make the necessary amends and make a better experience of it, which is why I was surprised that I didn't click with the manga version, which I hadn't read before now, as much as I did with the anime. And to be clear, the main reason I haven't read the manga is because it's, for whatever reason, and I admittedly don't know why, it never got licensed. It never got picked up over here, despite the anime being pretty popular. Maybe it was because it was 10 years ago and the localization scene was a bit different to how it is nowadays, but I don't know. But yeah, definitely reading this, like, the art is okay, but lacks a lot of finesse outside of its comedic expressions, and as me and Mike highlighted, definitely feels like in Volume 2 it has a downgrade. My comparison is like it feels like an animatic compared to a final animated draft. Characters really just don't get, again in this version, get much to expand upon themselves. Even the lead characters are pretty much the same people at the start of these two volumes as they are at the end. And while the heroines, yes, do get to, like, over a couple of cases, get to overcome some of their issues because they're then immediately swept away, and there is no, within the context of this, long-term narrative, it's like, well, that's nice for them, but I'll never see them again. Why would I care? So, yeah, just all of those elements, the lack of a long-term narrative, the lack of even acknowledgement that these things have happened. You don't even have, like, bystanders in subsequent chapters going, wait a minute, weren't you hanging out with that track lady? Why are you now coming on to this rich person? Just that kind of really hampers this experience. So, no, I would not read the manga, and I can't buy it, but now having read these two volumes, I would not be inclined to go and buy it. It really does feel like a rough draft, which the anime then improves. The anime, obviously, by virtue of having a consistent art style, thanks to Manglobe, does look a lot better. It paces things better. As I made a high example I highlighted earlier on, I'll bring up again, is how they move the, I've got a huge visual novel backlog, and stick it at the end of essentially what we read, so it comes at a more natural time in the story. And in the virtue of it, the fact it's 60 to 80 pages, 3 to 4 chapters, versus, say, 60 to 70 minutes of animation across 3 episodes, you do get more time to actually develop Kama's bond with each character and the characters in general in the anime. And to that, obviously, all the other elements like color and music, especially useful when one of your three characters, one of your four characters in this, is an idol. Music, boy, did they run with Canon and back. Especially as we didn't talk about it, but one of the chapters in this is he goes into like a coma from playing too many visual novels and starts imagining that he's in like some anime song sequence. And hey, guess where you can actually realize that with music and animation? The anime.
10 out of 10 singing, can I say, if you've not heard it before.
Exactly, but that's the point. So my final sides with the world gone, you know, I don't hate it nearly as much as Mike. I feel the manga version is rough. Maybe it picks up as it goes on. But definitely, if you are interested in this, the anime is a good watch. I've watched all three seasons of it, and I have relatively enjoyed it. I did want to try and go back. I didn't sadly find the time for this. I did want to try and go back and watch one of the OG episodes to see like if it still held up. Because bear in mind, I've not watched it since whatever it is, which I think was like 2012-ish, around then. But yeah, the anime is a good watch. So if this does interest you as a premise, I would advise checking that out. Not that you can check out the manga over here. So that's me. Now we go over to Phil to close us out. Would you buy it if you could? Would you, I guess, rewatch it? Because I'm pretty sure, like me, you have watched all of this. And would you recommend it for people who want a rom-com, or would you champion one of the many other rom-coms that you read over this?
So, would I buy it? Yes, it's near enough top of my list of manga I would want to buy. But I'm not going to say the top. There's other things on that list. But it's one every so often I do check to see, just on the off chance, hey, has it been licensed? And I'm sure Sean will remember, a few years ago I got very disappointed when I did my, let's say, annual pilgrimage to Amazon to check, and it was like, oh my god, it's there, and then it's, no, that's the German version.
Yes, it has been officially localized in Germany for a while, and I know sometimes, as it happened with Phil, sometimes you go, oh man, it's there, oh, wait.
And it's, yeah, you click on it, and then it's like, German. Swing and a miss. But yeah, it's definitely one I would love to buy, given the opportunity. Unfortunately, say at this point, I think it's unlikely, short of it potentially getting something like a Shaman King type treatment where there's another anime gets released and then maybe it gets picked up as a result of that. But I don't see that happening anytime soon. Obviously, I have watched it all, I think. I'm going to say yes. If not, I might have missed the last season or the last OVA that wrapped it up. I don't remember. But otherwise, I have watched it all. Would I rewatch it? I don't know. While we've been talking, I've had a quick look, because it is available on Crunchyroll. And season one, so each season is about 12 to 13 episodes. And season one is literally the first two volumes of the manga. So it's kind of, do I necessarily feel a need to rewatch it again if I've just reread those two volumes? I don't know. Say, seeing it all animated, say, nice, consistent, shiny in colour, all that jazz. You get that wonderful ending at season one of Hamer singing in just awful tone. But it's hilarious to watch, and why not? And then, I mean, maybe I'd go and watch season two, season three. I don't know is the answer to that one. Would I recommend it? I certainly wouldn't be against it. Would it be top of the list? I think it would depend what the person is looking for in a way. I think this definitely leans a bit more towards the comedy in a way than some other rom-coms do. So certainly if they were looking for something a bit more comedic, definitely.
Let me phrase it this way, then. If someone said, I like visual novels and I want to read a manga, is this the one you recommend?
Yeah, is the answer to that. Definitely. Like, if it was someone I knew who's played visual novels, dating sims in particular, not necessarily specifically visual novels, but yeah, if someone's like, I've played some dating sims, I'm looking for a rom-com series, I'd be like, yeah, you could give that a look. You might get an extra kick out of it. Because I think, obviously, if you do like dating sims, you perhaps do appreciate the comedy of it a bit more. But yeah, that's where I stand with it.
There we go then. I think the thing me and Phil will agree on, if not the manga, is that the anime is worth watching if you haven't and you like rom-coms. Obviously, Mike shouldn't do it because he would go insane. But, you know, I mean, hey, that would be fun too.
What? No.
Maybe that's what I'll cash in my next stream reward
visual
for.
Visual novel.
No. Like, you do a watch-along of World Gondly Knows.
I don't think you could do a watch-along. You don't
show the anime on the screen. It's just Mike's reaction.
Right.
It's my face the whole time.
I feel that would be comedy enough.
Like, he just has, like, the play bar,
Exactly, yeah. It's just one of those watch-along
so you can just
things.
Be like, all right, so this is where we are.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
But, I mean... So stay tuned for all of that on twitch.tv/Bezekra.
It's my stream. Twitch.tv/Bezekra. That's BERSEKREA, where I play video games and things. And also Twitter and other social medias, but mostly Twitter. I should probably go on to other social medias. Because that thing's going down in fire.
The exodus is happening.
So let's find out. But yeah, same name there for the time being.
Ah, man. And I mean, he won't be exodusing Twitter because he barely uses it to begin with, but you can also... Not you! Oh, that was a segue to... Oh, look at Mr. Arrogant over here. It's all about me. Oh,
at least I don't think I
what
can...
What a gamer!
At least I don't think I can bang because I've played a visual novel. Playing a cooking game doesn't make me a chef.
Play a better cooking game, then.
Yeah. So, anyway, now that guy's added himself, you can follow Phil at Fanaxkian. But more importantly, it's time for the Rent a Girlfriend update corner. Yes, it gets mentioned twice in one episode. Damn.
Oh, how lucky we are that we get to talk about Rent a Girlfriend again. What did happen last time? She asked him out on a day. Yeah, let's go with
that. She being the lead girl?
Yes.
Oh, my God. For free? No payment up front? Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. Fucking scandalous is what that
so
is.
So no doubt he said no.
No, he clearly said yes because, you know, he's too busy fantasizing.
He's too busy cucking himself or something, yeah.
No, anyway. What'll happen is he'll say yes to the date. They'll go on the date. It'll be a whatever time, good, bad, I don't know, it'll be something. But then at the end, he's like, no, you must take this money.
They've been on 100 fucking dates by this point, I would assume. He's at least got the principle of dating down. God, you know, I would hope he's got that down. Yeah.
But every single time, she's been there because she's been paid. So maybe he was just terrible every single time, but because she was being paid, she didn't say anything.
But she's the one asking him on the date, Mike. You'd hope that means...
I mean,
that...
it was implied it was a little bit of a pity date. Like,
oh, no.
She kind of walked in, saw he was just lazing about doing nothing, and was like, hey, do you want to like go out?
Just hang out, yeah. Well,
like, fucking scandal. And then she's like, "Oh, it just never rains when we go on a date or something."
Kamer would be like, "There's a flag right there." But
all I'm saying is, if Kamer was in that, they'd have been.
Oh, Kamer would have fucked everyone he knew who within like two volumes. But anyway, you can enjoy more Rent a Girlfriend updates to come in the future. You could follow me at Slazo King, currently mainly on the Twitter. I am also looking into the other social media, seeing as I, you know, need to learn how to use them now that Trash Manga Friends is on almost all of the socials. So we are obviously still at Trash Manga Cast on Twitter, but we are also at Trash Manga Friends on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook, on Pinterest, on Tumblr, on Mastodon. And of course, you could subscribe to us, the podcast, on your various podcast services of choice. That's Spotify, Apple, Google, Stitcher, and TuneIn. So get following us, get subscribing, get liking, rating, reviewing us on all of those platforms, all of them, all like 12. That is your mission for this next fortnight because your support is forever appreciated. And as always, links to all of that stuff will be down there in the show notes, including links, obviously, to Crunchyroll's World God Only Knows page if you want to go watch all three seasons of that. But time for a plot twist, because as quickly as one route is cleared, 50 more heroines bid for our attention. So what's our next choice, Mike?
Oh, damn, it's me. Quick, think of something. What's the early... From the early 2000s, when you think of anime, what do you think of? Do you think of violence? Dad?
FLCL.
think of violence, sadness, horny.
still fully cooling.
Well, that's not what we're reviewing, because we are reviewing an anime from my childhood, which explains far too much about how I turned out. It is Elfen Lied.
Oh man, well you can't be negative about that one, right?
Don't need to, the manga's negative about itself.
Well, we are going down into that infamous rabbit hole next time, so see you in a fortnight. And remember, visual novels are great. Ignore everything Mike said, they're brilliant, they're amazing. Play more. Thank you. Bye-bye!